You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wednesday, April the 2nd of 2025. Bit of a dreary start here in north central Wisconsin. Again, it's not a fun day to be on the roads. Got some freezing rain falling here at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. That temperature hanging around the freezing mark right now at 33 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the hump day edition of the Chad Holmes Show. On 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Also today, we are again on YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel on that site. You can be part of the show by giving us a call at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Call or text. That number works either way. Call or text 715-382-9297. We'd love to hear your response to what we found out last night on Election Day. We will have plenty of recaps of the races, both around the state, but also some races here in central Wisconsin. We're going to break it down, talk about some of the winners, some of the losers. What does it mean coming up during the course of this program? Also coming up in just a few minutes at 8:21, we'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Again, the weather has been very interesting as it continues to just have that winter-like feel as we're into the month of April, but we'll find out when this wet weather is going to get out of here. We'll talk about what we can expect for the rest of the work week and into the weekend, and a whole bunch more with Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:21 this morning. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll be getting our monthly visit the first Wednesday of the month with Christine Daniels of the Good News Project. Christine, the executive director of the Good News Project, she'll be with us at 9:34 this morning as well. And then we will get back to normal in terms of our last segment of the day, because yesterday, number one, Ian was not here. And number two, Cornell called. So we ended up, instead of having a daily history lesson and number for the day quiz, we ended up talking to Cornell in our final last. I should have given him the number for the day quiz yesterday. I could have done that. But we're very happy to see across the way, behind the glass, our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Should we ask you what happened yesterday, or do you want to not talk about it?
I prefer not to talk about it, especially on the open air.
Okay. Well, the good news is, hey, we're glad you're back. We're glad you're safe, and we're glad to be able to go have another edition of the number for the day. That means, though, things change a little bit. The math changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little bit more difficult for you, because normally you get five opportunities to get two right.
Now it's only four.
And now it's only four. So it's going to, the way you were last week, when the pressure was on, you were able to get through that finish line and get the passing grade. Because last week you started off 0-3, but then bang on Thursday you got it right. Bang on Friday you got it right. So Not going to wait as long, I hope, this week, because today is important, because you don't want to be 0-4 going into Thursday and Friday again.
Absolutely. I got to make sure I stay focused and get the number right, especially today.
Terrific. Okay, so we'll look forward to that at the very end of the program. But one of the things we have to jump right into yesterday, it was Election Day. And as we go through the show, we're going to break down a few of these different races. But let's start off with the statewide races, because obviously going into yesterday, there was a lot of question marks. Because when you have somebody like Elon Musk spending upwards of $27, $28 million on a race, all in favor of Brad Schimmel, I think there's a lot of nervousness with Judge Susan Crawford on whether or not that money would have a big factor. Agreed. But in the end, it was Susan Crawford. And not only did she win, but she has won by a rather significant margin. Right now, the 99% of the votes are, well, let me look here. 99% of the votes are in, and 55% to 45%. Susan Crawford just crossed the 1.3 million vote total, 1,300,160. Brad Schimmel, 1,062,261. So beyond, I think, the importance, because it was, I mean, there's significance for the ideological balance of the Supreme Court. You had a 4-3 edge for the, what you call the liberal wing of the court after Janet Protasiewicz won the election 2 years ago. But this was a seat that was being protected because Ann Walsh Bradley, one of the four on the liberal side of the aisle, again, I feel dirty saying it like that, because Supreme Court justices are nonpartisan. But everybody, we gotta call it the reality here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reality right now. And we saw it for well over a decade where there was a conservative majority on the court, and it led to a lot of conservative pieces of legislation upheld by the court when there were some question marks on their legality. And then you came back in the last 2 years after Protasiewicz had the election and gave for the first time in basically a decade and a half a liberal majority on the court. We saw a significant change. We saw the gerrymandered lines that were put through by Robin Voss and by Robin Voss alone put aside and led to a more fair map. Then we had more fair results in November. Even in a tough election for Democrats in November, we saw Democratic gains in both the state Senate and the state assembly. There was a very great fear among those on the left, and I think those who just want fair maps, that if Brad Schimmel was elected last night, that we would have, again, a 4-3 majority for the conservative wing, and then we would see perhaps Robin Voss's ideas on maps go back into vogue. So, again, very significant, but also, again, the fact that a repudiation of big money. I'm not saying that there was not money on the side of Judge Crawford as well, but when you have one person, the richest person in the world, decide that he was going to personally get involved in this race on one side, put in a great multiple of any amount that any other person put into this race. And there was a nice graphic that was put out yesterday that showed the big money that was put in. It wasn't just Elon Musk. Diane Hendricks, one of the richest people in Wisconsin, also was among the top three. Also in the top three was the Eline family. So, again, it wasn't just Musk. There was big money put in back of Brad Schimmel by others as well. There was some others on the left that put in money, but not at the same level for individuals that we saw from those on the right. And I think, I would hope that after this election that Donald Trump, I think, was on the ballot. I think Elon Musk was on the ballot. If you were tuned in yesterday on this radio station, twice an hour, there was a spot paid for by Brad Schimmel's campaign that was 60 seconds of Donald Trump meandering, I thought. Yeah. It was not a great commercial, but Brad Schimmel decided that in order to win, he needed to wrap himself around Donald Trump. And I'm sure folks who tune into this radio station were probably less than thrilled to hear Donald Trump's voice touting Brad Schimmel twice an hour, every hour yesterday. But again, the FCC and fairness. I mean, if there's a candidate that wants to buy advertising time, we can't say yes to one, no to the other. That's not fair. And we talk about it as well, that if there are folks that want to come and sit across from me in the studio, mm-hmm. and I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or anywhere in between, well, you have an open invitation. You can come in here and talk about different issues.
That's right.
But I think that the idea that Donald Trump and Elon Musk were, for lack of a better term, repudiated just 5 months after Donald Trump won the presidential election here in Wisconsin. Mm. And what does that say to us? It says that there has been, I think, a little bit of a backlash on what Donald Trump and Elon Musk have been doing for the past 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as an American, as somebody that is definitely a big supporter of having our system work, I would hope that both Donald Trump and Elon Musk would take the results here in Wisconsin. And also, there were a couple of results as well in the state of Florida. There were two United States House of Representatives seats that were up for special elections. One of was held previously by Mike Waltz, who is now the national security on the national security staff for Trump, mm-hmm. and the other was for what's his name? He was nominated for Attorney General. How soon it just slips out of my mind. But they were two seats that were won by Trump and by these by the candidates on the Republican side in November by upwards of 30 points. The Republicans won both those races yesterday, but by half the margin, by about 15, 14 points. So I would hope that Trump and the people around Trump would say that at least a segment of the American people have said, maybe you should be rethinking what you're doing with all these massive firings in the federal government.
Mm.
Whether Elon Musk should be thinking maybe his role should change. Maybe he should not be deciding on his own who should be winning elections in the state of Wisconsin. That maybe they would have a little bit of self-reflection after this.
Yeah.
So a lot to talk. But we're going to talk more about other races as well here in Wisconsin, here in the area,
mm-hmm.
coming up as we continue here this morning on the program. But coming up next, we're going to talk about, again, some very interesting weather. Dreary weather start, but will we see some sunshine soon? We'll find out with our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, coming up next. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can catch us live on YouTube, youtube.com, and the 98.9 WXCO channel as well. And you can join us by calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 here on this Wednesday morning. Yep, it's been overcast, been some freezing rain. It was not fun trying to even walk to the vehicle this morning as this temperature hanging around the freezing mark. We've had some snow, we've had some freezing rain, we've had some sleet. It's been that kind of weather pattern recently. Is it going to stick around today? Can we expect things to change? Well, the person that knows the answer to all those questions and more is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Made it without slipping and falling down as we came in. I mean, it is slick out there. There's ice. There's both on the roads and when you walk from the from the door to the garage. I had to tippy toe just to get to my vehicle. But it's kind of dreary out there, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, ugh, gross. I'm kind of getting over it, and I like the snowfall. We did pick up about 3 inches into places and towards Weston area. We've got freezing rain right now in some spots. As you said, temperatures are flirting with a freezing mark. We've got another hour of them doing that before it starts to rise enough above freezing to where it is all just regular rain. And it stays that way for the rest of the day because highs will make it to the low 40s. So with the low 40s and the rain on top of the snow that we just picked up, it is going to be melting rather quickly. So the slushy, sloppy, slippery mess will be gone in about an hour. After that, though, and throughout the afternoon, we are looking at some light rain this morning. Kind of gives us a little break in the afternoon where our temperatures kind of start to spike a little bit. And it's also windy, too. They're gusting up to about 30 miles per hour, and it stays that way all day today. So very breezy out there, making our low 40s really probably feel more like the low 30s. But either way, it's going to be warm enough to start melting some of that snowfall. Now, this afternoon, probably around 3 to 6, I would say, the time frame for more thunderstorms rolling through. Now, these aren't going to be severe. The severe stays way far down to the south, like the southern state line. But for us, we could have some claps of thunder. We could have some heavy downpours, picking up about a half an inch of rain or so. And then we could see some small hail, too, because our temperatures are just pretty chilly. So it's pretty easy for hail to form in thunderstorms these days. And of course, keep an eye on those rivers rising and local streams. Obviously, we've had all this precipitation and the melting of the snow will cause them to start rising. So as we roll into spring, flooding is that concern, isn't it?
Have you heard anything concerning the flooding aspect? Because as you said, I think it's been something that people are keeping an eye on with the precipitation we've seen recently. Is that becoming a major issue? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, it actually was. The Wisconsin River over the weekend was up. I mean, it was flooding areas in Oak Park Island and then also into DC Everest as well. So that water was definitely coming up. It was approaching homes near Plover, too. And then the Big Rib River was also in a flood warning. That just expired. Both of these warnings just expired yesterday. So a lot of lowland, woodland area flooding from those. So that only was from the weekend precipitation. Now we've got this added to it. So in the next day or two, they'll rise again.
And beyond today, it looks like things are going to dry out, aren't they?
They are. Oh, yay. We're going to see a ton of sunshine as we go through the rest of the week. I mean, it'll be here by tomorrow. It stays with us for the entire weekend. I would say if any day you're going to see more clouds out there, it'll be on Saturday, because we got a little system moving through southern parts of the state where they're going to see some rainfall. But here for us, I mean, gorgeous, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 40s for a good chunk of the weekend and the rest of the week. So where we should be for this time of year, and I like the dry, calm, nothing going on.
We definitely need to dry things out. I mean, number one, get rid of the snow. I mean, you get to April, we got to get rid of the snow because you start thinking about the spring outdoor activities. I know that you love those winter outdoor activities, but there are folks out there. I know the people want to get those golf courses opened up and want to be able to get out there and enjoy some of those activities. But it's going to take some time with all this snow still out there and moisture, right?
I agree. Yes, it will. It'll take at least a couple of weeks, but we're getting there. It is around the corner. I'm trying to keep your hopes high because we have been through a lot here in central Wisconsin this past month, and that's not going to be a whole nother month of this, right? I promise you. I don't even see a big storm system in the next 2 weeks.
What we like to hear. What are the details here for this midweek forecast as we head downhill towards the weekend?
Yes. So a little dreary, dark, and damp today with rain still occurring. Freezing rain is still possible early this morning, but within an hour or two, that's gone. Just regular rain. Some thunderstorms are possible this afternoon. Highs in the low 40s. And of course, as we go into tomorrow, more and more sunshine. It'll be gorgeous out there. That stays the case as we go into Friday as well. Highs will hit 50 on Friday, flirt with 50 on Saturday. And then Sunday, we fall a little bit to those mid-40s, but still dry with some sunshine.
Terrific. So we'll look forward to that. But everybody, stay on your feet. Don't be slipping and sliding around here with that icy conditions right now. But Brittany, thanks again for the info. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good.
That is our Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, joins us again every weekday at 8:21 here on the program. Right now in downtown Wausau, again, some light freezing rain, a bit of fog and mist out there, temperature of 33 degrees. Winds are out of the east at 17 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30 miles per hour, wind chill factor of 22. The dew point is 29, relative humidity of 35%, the barometer at 29.68 inches, and a visibility of 4 miles. Coming up, it is an information update, news, weather, sports, entertainment, all coming up. And then after that, I'm going to talk a bit about some of the local races that we saw last night. Wausau School District referendum, interesting results. Village of Weston president, interesting result. So we'll talk a little bit about those races and more coming up. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
I was so hard to please. The ground leaves the brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. In the Salvation Army band, down by the riverside is bound.
2025 season opens for the Wausau West High School softball team. The Warriors will take on Lakeland. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 2:50 and the first pitch at 3. Wausau West Softball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing. It's Wausau West taking on Lakeland in the high school softball season opener. Friday, starting with pregame show at 2:50 and the first pitch at 3 on Wausau's only radio home for high school sports play-by-play. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Time is 8:36 here in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 33 degrees, and I just saw a vehicle go the wrong way in front of us. Our studio here is right on the corner of Washington Street. I saw some vehicle go by, and I certainly hope it was an emergency vehicle because it went by pretty quickly. I don't know if they were clearing off the road, but I just out of the corner of my eye. And doggone it, people, don't do that. Be safe out there, because it is slick. We got some freezing rain, some sleet falling here in downtown Wausau. And wanted to talk about some area votes from last night, and one of which is the Wausau School District referendum vote. And disappointing, I would say, at least to those of us who believe that. I thought that the board and the district had explained that this was a situation that would not affect property taxes, and it's also something that was needed in order to, at the very least, maintain what the district has in terms of offerings and jobs at this point. But the voters here in Wausau rejected the five-year, $8 million annual operational referendum, which the district said was crucial to avoiding a growing budget deficit, and now leaving a lot of questions to be answered. It was a close race. With all the votes counted, the no votes had 8,079. The yes votes, 7,505, 51.8% to 48.2%.
I see.
The referendum would have allowed the district to exceed state-imposed revenue limits beginning with the next school year, the 2025-2026 school year, generating a total of $40 million over 5 years. Basically, during the informational sessions that were held in the run-up to the vote, district leaders told residents and tried to persuade them that the move would preserve academic programs, retain staff, cover health insurance costs, all while addressing a projected $3.7 million deficit and $25 million in deferred maintenance. So, again, and I'm it's a case of, and actually, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm looking at multiple sources here, and one of the sources has the vote totals, as I just said. The pilot, the Wausau Pilot and Review reporting, it was actually 10,051 votes to 9,701, which is even a tighter vote total. And now the questions are, what do you do? What do you do? Because the district had asked for this money to try to maintain the educational standards, try to maintain their staffing levels, try to make sure that programs such as athletics and other programs can be maintained. And now, all of a sudden, big questions are out there. And we're scheduled to be joined tomorrow by the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher, to talk about this result, talk about where the board and the district goes from here as well. But in communication with the public, the district's communications coordinator, Diana White, had said the referendum would help maintain and enhance student programs while addressing its deficit and maintenance needs. Officials said property taxes would not have increased had the referendum passed. Officials estimate that in the first year alone, $3.7 million of the revenue would have closed the budget gap, while $4.3 million would have addressed deferred maintenance across the district's buildings. So now, after this vote, the district has to face some very difficult decisions to balance the budget, and likely including staff reductions, delayed maintenance projects, salary freezes, and cuts to athletics and non-core courses. And obviously, a lot of folks will be affected by this. Obviously, I mean, you got to find the areas. I mean, when the referendum does not pass, and obviously the state funding not at the level it's needed to be at this point for Wausau. And so now, where do you go from here? And again, it's really unusual. I don't say unusual, but odd in my mind, I guess, again, in my mind, that this referendum would not have affected property tax. I think that perhaps that was not put out there as strongly as it needed to be. I'm not saying it wasn't, but people's attention sometimes does not particularly wrap their arms around it. During some of the listening sessions, there were some residents who questioned the referendum's financial logic. Others asked again whether rejecting the measure would reduce their property tax bills. But during a March committee meeting, Board Vice President Lance Trollope said the board intended to keep the tax rate flat either way. So this will not affect people's property taxes. That does not mean because they rejected this referendum question that the property taxes for property owners in Wausau would go down. But now the questions have to be asked and answered within the district, the board, and everybody else who makes these decisions. So one of the things about this I was thinking about when I saw the results last night, in this era, and I'm not just talking about here in Wausau, but I'm talking about generally around the country, there's this idea that any spending is bad. Any spending is bad. That you have to really push against it. That, boy, you shouldn't spend even proactively to, say, build a new village building. And I'm going to talk about that coming up when we discuss the Village of Weston presidential results. But it just feels like the bar for anybody to spend money is so high these days, because I would say of the Republican mindset that, no, we should not spend on anything. People should just tighten their belts. Well, the Wausau School District will now have to tighten their belts. And it just seems to me that there are times that, yes, that spending can be considered not prudent.
True.
But at the same time, there are times where you need to spend. You need to invest. And there's oftentimes, and we've seen studies in different areas, where spending a dollar brings back $3 to a community or somebody else who makes the investment. And that there are times that investment actually leads to greater prosperity because of it. And again, it's not an either-or question, that always there should be, you know, if somebody wants to spend money on a project, that automatically should be spending on it. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But I do think that maybe the pendulum has moved so far to the right when it comes to those kind of decision-making processes that it becomes almost impossible for far-reaching and important development to be put in because people just don't want to spend. Because they've heard over and over again by those on the right that, hey, it's not spending, it's always wasteful spending. They always call it wasteful spending. No, not all spending is wasteful.
No, it's not.
And that is something that people need to realize and to make sure that they do not always just, you know, automatically assume that spending is bad. And I think in this case, the spending in terms of passing this referendum would have been positive for the Wausau School District. But in the end, the voters, in a very close vote, decided against that. Also, another election that we have been talking about, where I live, in the Village of Weston, they had an election for the Village Board President last night. It had the incumbent going up against a challenger, a local business owner. And I had been talking about this one because I live near Patriot Auto. And one of the candidates in this election is the owner of Patriot Auto, and somebody that over the years, based on their signs, it annoyed me just a little bit. And again, he had every right to put any message he wants on the sign in front of his building, but every time that I head home after work, I have to go home and I have to turn right in front of Patriot Auto. So I see right in my line of sight the sign that often will have little jabs at those on the left politically. And I've learned over the years to try to avoid looking at it because sometimes I would get a little bit annoyed as I would turn and head home. But again, it's their business, and they have the right to be able to do that. And ultimately, the man who owns Patriot Auto, James Pinsano, ran against the incumbent, Village of Weston president, Mark Maloney. And going into it, I had no idea who's going to win because James Pinsano had on his sign up until this morning saying, vote for Pinsano for president so the village doesn't force another $15 million building.
Okay.
And I talked about spending again.
Yeah.
And I think the Village of Weston is an area that has been growing significantly over the last number of years in central Wisconsin.
Oh, very much so.
And that the idea of spending money on that building, which was much needed, was not wasteful spending. But Pinsano and allies of his believed it was wasteful spending, that they should not have spent that level of money for that building. I think as time goes by, that folks are going to realize that that was prudent spending, that a growing village needs a place like that as their village hub. And so in the end, I think that was one of the areas that was of discussion during the run-up to this election.
But so who won?
But in the end, who do you think won? Who do you think actually won the battle of that those ideas? And I think that there were battles of ideas here. The incumbent or the owner of Patriot Auto?
I'm going to say the incumbent won.
The incumbent did win.
Okay, good.
Mark Maloney won 54.8% of the vote to James Pinsano's 45.2. 2,686 votes for Mark Maloney. 2,216 votes for James Pinsano. But again, I was a little surprised. I actually thought Pinsano, with being a business owner and a rather prominent one in the Village of Weston, but in the end, Maloney was able to win another term. And the thing that I noticed this morning as I drove to work, the sign was empty. And I've never seen the sign empty before.
Oh.
He had taken down the Pinsano for President sign and the talk about the $15 million building. So I'm sure they'll have
some. See in the next couple of days if he has anything on his.
Oh, I'm sure there will be another sign up there that says something about either liberals being bad or conservatives being good. But and again, not always their political signs. Sometimes they'll put up signs talking about some events going on. So I got to be fair here, you know. But in the end, it was Maloney over Pinsano. And but again, I found that interesting because Pinsano ran on a lack of spending, that, you know, looking at every dollar that goes out again, which is not a bad thing, but I got the feeling that folks realize that maybe they would not be spending on important items for the village to grow. We'll take a quick time out, come right back. It's 8:49 here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:52. We'll talk more about the election results coming up in hour number two of the program. We'll also be joined by the executive director of the Good News Project, as Christine Daniels will be with us. She joins us on the first Wednesday of every month, and we'll talk about what's going on over at Good News Project. That'll be at 9:34 this morning. We'll have our daily history lesson, of course, coming up in the second hour. Coming up early in hour number two, we'll let you know what the topic will be for today in terms of the number for the day quiz, and a whole lot more to come. And again, you can join us by calling or texting us, 715-382-9297, 715-382-9297. If you have ideas on your thoughts in terms of the Wausau School District referendum failing, if you have any thoughts on, as well, the election generally last night as well. So again, 715-382-9297 to join us here on the program. Also, real quickly, need to remind you that you still have a few days left to be able to win, as we are giving you an opportunity four different times each and every day, today, tomorrow, and Friday, as we come down towards the end of our statewide text to win contest. Again, just a few more days remaining. Break into spring. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. But we're going to break into spring. Our text to win statewide contest going on through Friday. And again, listen in at 7 a.m. with Pat, at 11 a.m. with Jane, at 1 p.m. with Todd, and 4 p.m. with Dom through Friday for your chance to listen for a keyword to enter for your chance to be an hourly winner. And then also you'll be part of the grand prize drawing as well. The hourly winners, $100 in cash, Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, one of those each and every hour. And then every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. So make sure you tune in next at 11 o'clock with Jane Mantanare and Greg Bach. Near the start of the show, they'll give you the keyword, and all you have to do is open up your Civic Media app, open up the 98.9 WXCO part of the app, and send in that keyword. One word, that's it. So make sure you tune in. Hey, it was a good night last night, not only for Judge Susan Crawford and for Jill Underley. It was also a good night for the Brewers and the Bucks.
They won.
Finally, both teams have been struggling, and boy, for the Brewers, they were not just struggling. They were just not good for the first four games of the year. But last night,
they were getting burned.
You know what that we found out last night? The Brewers should always have pitchers named Chad. Because the Brewers had a guy named Chad Patrick, an emergency starter. And not only did he do a great job, he just was stellar. And he came out there, an emergency starter, pitched 4 2/3 innings of shutout ball, and the Brewers then defeated the Kansas City Royals by a score of 5-0. Eric Haas had a home run. Christian Yelich had a couple of RBI, and it was I would say the sun was shining again on the crew, but
very good.
The roof was closed, so no sunshine. So they're now 1-4 on the season. They will try to earn a series win against the Kansas City Royals today at American Family Field. 12:05. Actually, yeah, I think it's a 12:10 start, I believe. 12:10 start today from Milwaukee. Early start. They have a number of early starts. That's an early, you know, 12:10 start of Brewers. Last night, the Bucks also victorious. They snap a four-game losing streak, defeating the Phoenix Suns by a score of 133-123. Giannis Antetokounmpo, boy, he just comes out every single night, brings that lunch pail to work, and it was just, again, he is the best player in the NBA.
He's a fighter.
He is. He's as tough and as hardworking as anybody, along with all that great talent. 37 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Ryan Rollins had 23 points. Brooke Lopez, 22. The Bucks shot nearly 70% from the field, which is insane.
Wow.
I mean, they just were hitting.
Percentage.
Yeah, they were hitting everything last night. So they needed to. They only won by 10. So it's like they needed to hit all those shots.
Absolutely.
And did not make for a very welcome return to former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer, who's now the coach of the Phoenix Suns. So Coach Bud got a big hug from Giannis. That was nice to see. I saw that. It was like right after the game, Giannis went over and gave a big hug to his former coach who helped get the NBA championship to the Bucks 4 years ago. So that was nice to see.
Nice.
Bucks are now 41-34. They are back in action tomorrow night when they travel to Philadelphia, taking on the struggling Philadelphia 76ers. So getting into spring sports, and of course, coming up Friday, we'll have our first spring sports broadcast. We're going to have it because it's indoors. Because over at Green Heck Turner Community Center at DC Everest, they have an indoor facility to play softball. And the Wausau West Warriors will take on the Lakeland Thunderbirds on Friday, starting with the pregame show at 2:50 and the first pitch at 3. So I'm looking forward to that. I paid a visit last night when I left work. And it was a baseball scrimmage going on because I wanted to see like where I could set up and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's very impressive. I mean, you really can't play baseball as a regular game, they had a scrimmage there because the ceiling is a little too low.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see whether or not it will affect softball at all, because softball, you don't need it quite as high. But we'll look forward to that coming up on Friday.
Very cool.
That will wrap up hour number one of the program. We'll have hour number two coming up after an information update with Ian Walsh. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:58. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.